And take the Word of God and turn to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, we'll be reading verses 1 through 8. 1 through 8. And remember that Jesus has been was shown to be worthy of opening the seals, the seven seals, and here he was seated on the throne to carry out the Lord's will. And here now he begins to open the seals immediately upon being seated. So verses 6 or 1 through 8 of Revelation 6. This is God's word. "And I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, 'Come!' I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, 'Come!' And another, a red horse, went out, and to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, 'Come!' I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine.' When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, 'Come!' I looked, and behold, an ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name of Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth." That is the word of the Lord to us. It is inerrant, infallible, and perfect for us this morning. And so immediately upon Jesus being seated on the throne and all the praising and all the worshiping of the Lamb of that chapter 5, we come to chapter 6 and he's opening the seals. And at each time, each of these four seals that we read about this morning is open, there is one of the cherubim, each a different cherubim, each for each seal. One of them is crying out with a thundering voice saying, "Come," or "Go forth," depending on how it's translated. And so each of these riders on the horse is called to come and go forth and do the Lord's will. And that's what's being done here. And so the first seal is open and we see a white horse with a crown, with the rider who has a crown and who conquers. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is on the white horse, which is a pure horse, and one who has a crown, it's Jesus, and who conquers. And it must be said here that if we're really to grasp this book, if we're really to understand Revelation, which is, you know, daunting in our minds sometimes, we need to really get that Revelation, at least from chapter 4 on, continues to repeat itself and summarize itself over and over and over. It repeats, like here, we're in a little section of the seals in chapters 6 and 7. And then in the next section, 8 through 10, I think it is, it's going to repeat some of the same themes, some of the same things we're going to see. And so it goes throughout Revelation like that, and it gives clarity more so as we go on. And so, with that in mind, we know the 19th chapter. There is a rider on a white horse, and that is, we know, it says, it shows us very clearly that it is Jesus. And so here, the same thing. This is Jesus, and he's sitting on a white horse. And he has a crown because he is victorious, and he has conquered already, and he's going out to conquer even more. And so we should remember that as whenever Christ appears, Satan becomes very busy. And trials are in store for God's children. That's why we've had this picture that in the middle of all the universe is the throne. And to give us comfort as as this comes about. And so here's Christ, and we're going to see trials and tribulations and persecutions come because he has come. And so while the other writers are going to come, we know that they are all subservient to Christ. That's what needs to be in the big picture, that Christ is on the throne, and he is the first writer. The picture that we're going to see is that Satan is foiled by his own weapons. Is intended to be a means of extermination of the church, means to cause persecution and death. He will actually see that those are used as means of strengthening the church and comforting the church. And so the second seal is opened, and we see a red horse and his rider. And the horse refers, this one refers to religious persecution of God's children. Remember that whenever Christ in the Gospels, when his Spirit makes an entrance into the world, into creation or whatever it is, there is the sort of persecution that follows. That's why if you look at Jesus, he came, and then he was resurrected, he ascended into heaven. What happened in the book of Acts? There's all this persecution, and Satan was working to try to combat against the church. And so that's the same thing here. There's no indication of the timing of this. It doesn't say when the rider would come, or when he did come, or when he was working. All it says is that there is a rider, the horse and the rider, and that here there is persecution. Here's a sword. And yet we can praise God because the sacrificial sword is given to this rider. It isn't that it's his own sword. It's given to him. All things are in the hands of God. The Lamb reigns on the throne. And then he's given. Remember the cherubim, he opens the seal and the cherubim call, come! And the Lord's giving them this sword. And then the black horse comes and the third seal is opened and shows that there's economic hardship that those in the church will have. As we've seen in chapters 2 and 3 and some of the churches there that there's economic hardship when Christ is proclaimed and you live out the gospel. Here it says that there is oil and wine. There are those who have abundance who are rich, because that's a sign of oil and wine, that those who can afford such things are doing well, they're blessed. But there are also those in the church in particular because of their confession and thus there's persecution from the world who have a little harder of a life. There's struggle. You see, there's financial trouble. My Bible says there's that the third seal - famine. And that's a bad heading. It's wrong. It's not scripture. Here it says, it shows us that this is not a famine. It's just hard times, hard economically. Because it says a quart of wheat for a denarius, or three quarts of barley for a denarius, and so what you have there is a denarius, as you it might say in your Bibles, is a day's wages. So somebody works and they can afford enough food to provide for themselves, but they don't have enough money to provide for their families. And so life is a struggle. It's not easy, economically, financially. And so, here, this is not about famine. There's just not enough food. It's a struggle. Famine is when you have no food. And that's not the case here. And so that's for the church. The second and third seals are hardships or persecutions towards the church. It's the fourth seal where we see famine, and in particular, death followed by Hades. And this rider sits on a very sickly colored looking horse. This is a universal, not particular to the church, as it shows with the language it gives. A fourth of the earth. It's universal. It has to do with all people, Christian and non-Christian. And this rider goes forth, and he brings famine and sword and pestilence and wild beasts. And yet the comfort that not even death and Hades here that we have is that not even death and Hades can do whatever they want. They can't just go and put to death everybody. Only a fourth. They have been limited by who? The Lord. And so the Lord is in control, and he's given them divine permission to do this thing. And so this seal uncovers four universal woes: warfare, famine, pestilence, and wild beasts. And so in our day, remember, it doesn't give time periods for this. It's a general thing. It's happened since Christ. It happens today. All these things that you see here. And we see it all around the world, throughout the world, and even to the church in those first two seals. And remember who sits on the throne. That's the big picture. Who sits on the throne? It's Christ. And He's the one who's opening the seals. He's bringing this upon the church, and He's bringing this upon the world to bring sanctification to the church, to bring growth to the church, to bring people to Him in faith. And He's sending these out to the world, He's causing people to think about their sin and repent of that sin and turn to Him. As then the prophets many times it calls, because of judgments, He is calling them to repentance. And so remember that the one who sits on the white horse conquers all and is going about conquering. And it is Jesus Christ who is Lord, even in the midst of these trials and tribulations that we go through today. And we'll go through for the rest of the time that there is earth before Jesus returns. Let's pray. Father, we do come to You knowing that this scripture can be very difficult, and yet if we take it in light of the Old Testament prophets very carefully, we'll see all these things are pretty clear. Even as we look at the rest of the book of Revelation, these things are quite clear what they mean, and yet oftentimes it is man's sinful nature which wants to distort Your word and distort and bring about their own meaning and take this as allegory or whatever it might be, and this symbol means some crazy thing. And Lord, let it not be for us, but that we would interpret scripture by scripture, which we do here. We ask that it would be true, that You would give us discerning hearts about these words that are spoken. And that You would give us comfort with Your Son, Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne, who is the one who's actually opening these seals and bringing about or giving these riders, these horses, these, whether they're not necessarily specific people, but just people and things that are used throughout Your creation. Lord, You give them a minute amount of authority to do one or a few certain things, whether that's to bring persecution on the church, which we experience today, and whether that's bringing hardship and economic turmoil to Your people, which happens even today. For when we confess that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, or when we ask that we not work on the Lord's Day, and things like that, Lord, we are brought to not gain promotions or grow and over time get a better job over time, Lord. We struggle sometimes. And so we ask that You would remind us who sits on the throne. And then as we look at that picture of that fourth seal and the warfare, and as we see all these things and famine going around the world, throughout all time periods, Lord, we ask that You would remind us of the gospel and that our need to come to repent. And even when these things come, like when we have in our country tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and all these things, Lord, that we would point people to Jesus, the one who sits on the throne, the one who sent these things, so that people would hear about Your Son and believe in Him. Lord, use us as instruments to point people to Christ. And Lord, we ask that You would protect us, and even in these times, and whether that is protecting only our soul or also our soul and body, we ask that You would bring us into glory at the right time, and that You would unite our souls and bodies at the right time, and we will be with You forever and ever. And we know that's Your plan, and so we ask that You would give us faith to believe in Your promises, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.